In case you're not familiar with our customs, if you're here this morning and you feel the Spirit of the Lord touching your heart to give your life and your heart and yourself to the Lord, these altars, we use these steps as an altar. They're always open for the soul that wants to seek the Lord, the person that wants to cry out to Him for salvation and help. And He's definitely here this morning in a marked way. You can feel His presence. Amen. Before you're seated, why don't you go ahead and get your Bibles? But I want you to just lift your hands one more time. Could you thank Him that He's in the house? He's touching our hearts, speaking to us. Hallelujah. Jesus be glorified. Jesus be glorified. Jesus be exalted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord. John 3:16. And as you're turning, most of you heard that Jerry Renner had an accident at work and huge beam came down upon his legs, and he's got one leg broken in four different places, and it's going to be a long convalescence here. Remember the Renner family in prayer. At the same time, their little boy, a portion of his lung collapsed this week as well. And so let's remember the Renner family. Continue to remember Wilda. After surgery and rehab, she did have a heart attack. She's doing much better. Remember Steve. And then remember Sister Helfenstein in prayer. And just take these to the Lord in prayer. Amen. So familiar that all of you could quote it with me. In fact, why don't we just do that? John 3:16. Could we quote it together? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to preach this morning on how God hurts. I've set the series aside this morning, and I want us to have this time together in the Word before communion. My prayer is that communion would be even more significant today, having heard from the Word. God bless you. You can be seated. Some time ago, this has been years and years ago, I got an email at somebody I had been trying to help with the truth, and they got upset at me. And in that email, they emphasized and they spelt my name this way, Pastor Hurts. I wanted to believe it was only typo, because sometimes typing my own name, if I don't watch it, I invert those last two letters, and Hurst becomes Hurts. And I'd like to believe it was a typo, but the way it was emphasized in the email, I couldn't escape that it looked like it was intentional. And the message was, though I was trying to help them with the truth, the message was, I had hurt them. I thought about this, and this isn't to talk about myself, it's just to share an illustration about God, but I thought about that. You know, they had it right, Pastor Hurts, but it wasn't necessarily me that was doing the hurting to somebody, it was me that was receiving the hurt. You see, people often talk about their hurts, but I think the question is, do they ever consider that it might be God that's doing the hurting? Have you ever thought about that? Choices you make in life, things you do. We're ready to say, well, I got hurt, but have you ever considered it might be God that's doing the hurting? Look at this verse again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you notice the cross is never mentioned there? But I want to challenge you. How many, every time you hear this verse, if you're thinking about it, you think about the cross? You think about Jesus suffering. You think about the crucifixion. And that's definitely not wrong. But what I want to point out is that's not the only suffering in the verse. We readily see the suffering of the Son of God in the verse. We see Jesus on the cross. Did you notice the other suffering in the verse? It's the suffering of the Father. God so loved the world that he gave. Only begotten. It's not just that Jesus went to the cross. It's that the Father knew he would go to the cross, and the Father sent. It's not just the suffering of the Son. It is the suffering of the Father. You see, we're going to see from this verse that God not only suffers for us, but God suffers with us. And then we're going to see one more thing before we get finished. God suffers for us. God suffers with us. So how does God hurt? First of all, God hurts for us. God hurts for us. Make no mistake, Jesus, God, hurt horribly on the cross. I'm not going to take the time to try to depict that suffering on Calvary, that suffering on the cross. I do know that it was physical. Spikes, crown of thorns, horrible pain physically. But did you know not all the suffering on the cross was physical? Some of the suffering on the cross was mental. Jesus bore the weight of our sins, the weight of our guilt, and it went beyond that. How many knows that on the cross, besides the spikes through his flesh, there was the demons of hell that attack our Lord? Can you imagine the mental suffering that Jesus went through? Not only the darkness of hell that attacked him, but the very punishment of God and holiness for our sins. Physical suffering, mental suffering, emotional suffering. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, make no mistake, Jesus was God. And as God, he suffered for us on the cross. Are you grateful for that this morning? It makes me wonder, does it ever enter some people's minds that the sins they commit, Jesus suffered for those sins? I mean, they know it's wrong. They know it's sin. But does it ever enter their mind that when they commit that sin, that Jesus writhed in pain on the cross for that sin? How many knows he truly suffered for us? Oh, I'm grateful. Folks have heard how Christ has come to save them, and they so readily reject his efforts to save them, his wooing. They just say no to salvation. Do they ever consider how much Jesus suffered so that he could save them? He suffered for us. You know, it may not seem connected, but I want to note something else. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Our world's in an awful, awful, awful mess. But did you know God loves the world no less today than when he sent Jesus to suffer for us? How many believes that? He suffers. How does God hurt? He suffers for us. How does God hurt? He hurts with us. Think about that. He not only hurts for us, he hurts with us. You know, we have a prequel to the cross thousands of years before it happened. God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And all that could be said, what God is doing about forging a nation and doing in Abraham's life, I believe that was given to us as an example of what God was going to do. You know, anybody that's a father, I mean, others can seek to imagine, but anybody that's a father, and when they've read that story of Abraham putting his son upon that altar and tying him up and getting ready to plunge the knife into his own son's heart, any father that's ever contemplated that thinks, how could have Abraham done that? And don't think it was lighthearted. Don't you know, ever step up that mountain, ever rope around the wrist, the rising of that knife, the raising of that knife, every bit of that was pain in the heart of Abraham. And all that was a picture on the canvas of human history to let us know how much it hurt the heart of the Father to send Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. And yes, he suffered for us on the cross. But listen, God suffers with us because the Father knows the pain of giving his Son. I'm not trying in any way to bring up hurtful memories. I have never lost a child. Some of you have. And I'm not trying to bring up painful memories. But I had to look at Linda this week and say, Linda, I can't know how you're feeling because I've never lost a child. But the Father, he knows how you're feeling because he lost his son to a horrible death. And you that have lost a child in particular, you can know that hurt that you felt. God hurt with you. Can you imagine what kind of God we serve that he would hurt with us? Tell me, where else do they have that kind of God? And I'll tell you why we have that kind of God and they don't. Because our God is the true God. The God that hurts with us. The Father doesn't have to say, I imagine how you feel. And never forget, and I can't get into the wonders of the intricacies of the Trinity today, but not only is the Father God, but Jesus is God. And he knows how we feel. How does he know how we feel? How can Jesus hurt with us? Because he came in this flesh and he walked this life in this flesh and he was tempted in this flesh and he hurt in this flesh and he hungered in this flesh and he thirsted in this flesh and he grew weary in this flesh. And therefore the Son, who is God, he can look at us and say, I hurt with you because I have been there. I have suffered as you suffered. Even I know what it's about. Oh, what a Savior this morning. Amen. No wonder the writer of Hebrews say, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, he's able to help, he's able to encourage, he's able to strengthen them that are tempted. Why? Because he was tempted. Could I tell you, whatever your hurt is this morning, he hurts with you. What a Savior. Oh, just stop and praise him a minute. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, that he would hurt with us. How is that just to note a few? Poverty. Some of you here are struggling with poverty this morning and bills and all of that. I want you to know, he was the son, stepson of a poor carpenter. He was raised in a poor person's house and he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Amen. If you're in poverty, he hurts with you. He's been there. Abandonment. You see, I've been abandoned. My friends have abandoned me. Maybe my family has abandoned me. I want you to know, on that night of his betrayal, even the closest disciples that he had, they fled from him. They abandoned him there to that mob that would take him prisoner. Amen. You say, but my family's turned against me. Amen. He knows about that too. When he began to preach this gospel, the Bible is clear. Neither did his brethren, his half-brothers, neither did his brethren believe on him. His own family said, he's gone mad. Amen. You say your family's turned against you. His family turned against him. What about betrayal? Amen. Judas walked and kissed him with the kiss of a friend to betray him and to signal that Jesus was the one to be taken prisoner for 30 pieces of silver. You might have been betrayed, but Jesus hurts with you. I'm not minimizing the pain when a spouse walks out. I'm not minimizing the pain when your best friend turns against you. But I am here to say, he hurts with you because he was betrayed. An awful betrayal. Oh, we could go on. What about mental pain? He knelt in that garden, and he prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and said, Father, I just can't hardly bear this. Is it possible? Is there another way? Father, if it's possible, cause this cup to pass from me. But if it's not possible, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What a struggle. Even if you're having a mental struggle this morning of whatever kind, he knows what that's like. Bodily pain. We've mentioned the cross. On and on we could go. I'm just trying to enunciate this morning that he hurts with us. Trials, difficult places, hurts in the soul, hurts in the mind, hurts in the heart. He hurts with us. The writer of Hebrew went on to say, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I want to tell you one more time, he not only hurt for us, he hurts with us. And that high priest, therefore, is in the presence of the Father right now. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. He hurts with us. I can look at that broken leg in a hospital and I can say, that looks like it hurts. That's all I can say. But someone else that's had their leg crushed can look at that and say, I know how that hurts. Aren't you glad Jesus can look and say, I know how that hurts. I feel it with you. I remember one time early in our relation, my wife and I had a difficulty. We went over Pastor Branham's house, and there in the front room of the parsonage, we began to share, and Sandra's crying, and I'm crying a little bit. I looked over, and there was Pastor Branham crying right along with us. Oh, hallelujah. That'll touch your heart when you're pastor. Not everyone's got a hard-hearted pastor like you do, but it'll melt your heart when the pastor is weeping right with you. But I want you to know, Brother Steve, it goes beyond that. Wonder of wonders, we have a God that weeps with us. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes what I'm telling this morning? He hurts for us. God hurts with us. How does God hurt? Last of all, God hurts because of us. Because of us. It's enough wonder that God hurts for us. It's even more amazing that he hurts with us. But it's sobering to think that he would hurt because of us. And I'm not just talking about the cross. You know, someone came to me, I can't remember who, so please, if it was you, I don't even remember all the details, I don't even remember that it was you, but someone came to me last week with a question that somebody had brought, actually a statement they was making, and they said, you know, this person said that it really doesn't bother God if the wicked don't surrender to him. I mean, he's so holy, you know, he's so God that it just doesn't really... big deal if somebody's not going to surrender to him. And they asked me, they said, Pastor, is that right? And you know, some convey the attitude that God isn't bothered by people's refusal to follow him. It doesn't bother him. I don't know how they get that. Oh, I know they'll make statements, well, you know, God hates sin. And misunderstand the psalmist, they'll also quote the psalm, God hates the sinner, God's angry at the sinner every day. And I'm not going to get into all the theological things about that. And you know, God not being bothered by people not following him, that might be true except for one thing. God is love. And since God is love, it bothers him. Could I say it hurts him when people refuse to follow him? Look what it says in 2 Peter I'm going to just take the portions of the verse here. The Lord is not willing, look at the latter part of the verse, not willing that any should perish. We might have already marked them off. They're too bad. They're too wicked. They've done too wrong. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look what it says in Genesis. This is way back. You know, I know things are bad now, but really, the Bible says, as bad as they are here in the last days, that's like it was in the days of Noah. And this is the days of Noah. I mean, not far after creation. And men are so wicked and vile, idolatry and sexual sins and all of that. And look what it says here. And again, we're not looking, trying to get in depth on this morning. You can do that at a later time. I don't want us to miss the point. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And what did it do? It grieved him at his heart. Doesn't that sound like hurt to you? It hurt God that they had rejected him. They refused to serve him. And then let's look in the life of Christ at Matthew, overlooking that holy city. And Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not." You can try to interpret that verse any way you want to, but it's impossible not to see the hurt in the heart of the Savior, even after the vileness of the wrong done, killing the prophets. And yet he said, "I still would have gathered you, but you would not." You know, this thing, you know, some people get caught up on, well, some folks can't be saved. That's really not the issue. The issue is some folks won't be saved. In other words, they choose. They will not come unto him. And Jesus, you can see the pain of how that hurts him. In Deuteronomy, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." You know, if God was the kind of God that some people think he was, he'd be saying, "And you've chosen cursing, and you've chosen death, and you deserve it, and I'm ready to mete it out to you. I'm ready to pour it out on you." It's not what it says. God said, "Here's cursing, here's blessing, here's death, and here's life." But God said, "My heart is that you choose life. Choose life. Choose life." His heart is hurt. It's like someone reaching out their arms to hug somebody. Amen. Reach, stand up with your brother. Reach out your arms to hug me. And I just turn away. Amen. Wouldn't that hurt your feelings just a little bit? Maybe it's just to shake my hand. You reach out your hand to shake my hand. Amen. You know what? Thank you. I see folks do that to the Lord all the time. He comes by in a service. He's reaching for them. He's talking to them. Amen. He's got his arms out. And they just go right like this, refusing to submit, refusing. Amen. I look at that. You may think you've just turned down a preacher in an altar call. No, sir. It's more than that. You've hurt the heart of God. He longs for you to be in his embrace. He longs for you to follow him and know him. And when you, in the will of your heart, you turn away from Christ and turn away from his love and turn away from his mercy, it pains the heart of God. And it's not just God hurting for you or God hurting with you. It's God is hurting because of you. Think of the suffering a child can cause a parent. And again, please, I'm trying to help this one. I'm not trying to bring up unpleasant memories. But if you have a rebellious child, you know exactly what I'm saying. If you have a lost child and you're a believing parent this morning, you know exactly what I'm saying. Children cause their parents to suffer. Isn't that right? They cause their hurt. God feels that. I want to tell you, sin is selfish, 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 selfish. Sin does not care about other folks. And let me tell you, in essence, when a person sins, I'm not talking about a trip up and a stumble. I'm talking about willful, intentional, choosing the path of sin. When a person sins, they say, in effect, I don't care. I don't care who I cause to suffer. I'm just going to have my fun, my pleasure, do my thing, and it doesn't matter to me whom I cause to suffer. That is the essence of sin. I know it goes against what my parents taught me, but I'm going to do my thing, and I could care less if I hurt Mom. Amen. That is the essence of sin. Amen. I'll have my pleasure regardless of whom it hurts. That's the adulterous husband. I don't care that I hurt my wife. I don't care that I hurt my children. I'm going to have my pleasure. Amen. That's the attitude of the rebellious child. I don't care that it's destroying my parents. I'm going to do my thing. That's the backsliding young person. I don't care if it hurts the youth pastor. I don't care if it hurts other young people by a bad example. I don't care if it hurts my pastor. All I care about is doing that thing I want to do, having the pleasure. But I'm telling you what, that's bad enough, all those people. But there's one more thing to consider. Have you ever thought about how it hurts God? Every person that knows the truth and sins, willfully sins, in essence says, I don't care if I hurt my God. I want this. I like this. I will do this. Think about it. God hurts because of us. Not only think of the suffering of a child, but think of the suffering one spouse causes another. I mentioned the adulterous man. Do you know God mentions that? His people, Israel. He said, I loved you. I've done everything possible for you. And you have been adulterous with me. You've turned from me to other gods. Well, we're just doing our thing. We have a right to choose our God. We have a right to worship as we worship. But God said, what you forgot, you were hurting me. I was your husband. I was the one that loved you. I was the one that provided and protected you. Amen. One of the reasons it hurts God so much, here's the nature of God. Think of this. One of the reason sin hurts God so much is because he knows how ultimately it's going to hurt us. You see, I know that as a parent. Children can do things that hurt you as a parent, but one of the reasons it hurts you as a parent isn't just they went against your will, isn't just that they didn't take your counsel, but it hurts you as a parent because you know in the end how much it's going to hurt them. And one of the reasons God hurts when folks choose the path of sin, yes, it hurts because he gave his son so you wouldn't sin, don't have to sin, can be forgiven of sin, but it hurts because he knows how it's going to hurt you. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to surrender my heart to Christ. I'm not going to live for God. Well, why not? Because I've been hurt. And listen, I'm not trying to be facetious, okay? I'm trying to make a point. I can't tell you how many folks have said that to me. Well, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to be saved because I've been hurt. Really? Remember, I'm not being facetious. But really? Really? That's your excuse? First of all, before I get to my point, I want you to lift your hand this morning. If you've lived longer than 10 years and you have never been hurt by anybody, please lift your hand. Look around. All right, let's do it that reverse. I want you, in all honesty, lift your hand this morning. If even in serving God, you've been hurt by somebody. Let me see your hand. And if Jesus was sitting here, guess whose hand would be up? Well, let's go back to my point. You say, I'm not going to live for God because I've been hurt. Well, what do you think you're doing to God? You're pointing the fingers at, well, they hurt me. Well, what are you doing to God? You're hurting him. And what a pain that it is. Listen to me this morning. Allah is not our God.
And the fundamental difference, I'm not going to get into theology, but the fundamental difference between our God and Allah is our God is a God of love, and Allah is not. God is transcendent. He's beyond anything we could imagine. But because of that transcendency, our God came in the flesh and through the life of Christ said, I am the God of love. Allah is not a God of love. Our God loves people. Let me tell you a difference between our God and Allah. Our God hurts. He hurts for people. Our God hurts with people. And our God hurts because of people. But listen to me. Allah hurts. But Allah just hurts people. How do you know that? Because that which is done in His name is done to destroy and maim and kill. If I was an atheist, I'd want no part of a God that was a God of killing. You say, well, and they would too. Well, what about those Christians that killed folks by the edge of the sword trying to convert them and yada, yada, yada? Number one, they're not true Christians. Don't judge a faith by its followers, because there's always going to be hypocrites in every one of them. But judge a faith by its founder. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Jesus never advocated hurting anyone. Jesus never advocated violence against any person. That's not our God. Allah hurts people. Our God hurts for, our God hurts with, and our God hurts because of people. Aren't you glad we serve such a God? I still fear Him, but He's a God of love. I still tremble at His holiness, but He's still a God of love. I know He one day will be my judge, but I can say this morning, He's a God who hurts. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Those are going to help me. Would you go ahead and come? Have you ever noticed that those we love the most can hurt us the most? And by the same token, those who love us most, we hurt the most. Hallelujah. It must have been the week for it. I got another letter. Something that happened 15, 20 years ago. And I don't take it light. I'm not making fun or anything. I just couldn't separate it from this message. And it said, you know, it said, Pastor, I have been offended all of these years because you did such and such. I'm not going to go into any of that. But I can honestly say, I wrote back and I said, the last thing in the world I want to do is knowingly and willfully hurt somebody. I don't want to do that. I never tried to hurt you. I don't want to know that. Don't you think we ought to have the same attitude towards God? God, I never want to willingly and knowingly hurt you. It hurts Him to turn your back on Him. It hurts Him to start drawing away from Him. How many knows that hurts God? I want to say to folks in this communion this morning, can you get past who may have hurt you? Can you get past that? Have you ever thought of whom you may be hurting? Not just God, but other folks? Shutting them out? Not willing to forgive them? Being critical of them? I want to tell you, there could be real victory in your life this morning, in this communion, if you would just, with God's help, say, I'm going to forget about those that have hurt me. And I'm going to think of those that I have hurt. And this morning is going to be a time of healing in my heart. You know, I just felt it right come through there. I just felt it. I mean, I've heard it. I'm not minimizing. Please understand. I'm not minimizing. But I just felt that, well, you just don't know how deeply they hurt me. Okay. All I'm asking is, think how deeply it hurt God to hurt for our sins and because of our sins. Aren't you glad He's a God of forgiveness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in this communion this morning, I believe what hurts can be taken care of. Both what hurts us and the hurting we have done. I know, I hope it don't sound like I'm just mean and trying to turn up stones this morning. But that's one of the things I ask folks. Brother Steve, you come to me and say, well, you don't know how they hurt my feelings. Because I love you. I want to ask you something. You mean, brother, you've never hurt anybody's feelings? See, the way I feel, if you've been hurt, the goal isn't keep bringing up the hurt. If you've been hurt, the goal is to let God do the healing. How many knows He's able to heal? You want to know why He can heal? Because He's the wounded healer. He can heal your wound. Listen to me. You see it? He can heal your wound because He's had the same wound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're glad we have this kind of God, would you stand all over the building as the servers come? Would you stand, lift your hands and worship Him? Would you worship a God who hurts for, a God who hurts with, and even a God who hurts because of us? Would you worship Him? Would you let the Lord do the healing? Would you let the Lord do the healing? Would you let the Lord do the healing? Come on, reach out to Him. Amen. Maybe you've been hurting God with your refusal to surrender your life to Him. Amen. Would you reach out to Him right now and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I want You. God, I love You. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning without Christ, He hurt for you. If you're here without Christ, He even hurts because of you. But you can come to Him this morning. Surrender your heart and life wholly to Him. Would you give Him your life right now? Hallelujah. We're going to serve this communion, but if you're here this morning, the most important thing is if you've not surrendered your life to God right now, as the Spirit's touching you, as you feel the love of God upon you, as you're aware that you've hurt God by your refusal of Him, you just reach up and say, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my life. You died for me. I give You my life. I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus died on that cross for me. Here I am, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Church, let's pray one more time. Hallelujah. If you're here, amen, reach out to your Savior. Maybe you've never let Him take you into His arms. Let Him take you into His arms right now. Would you? Would you let Him take you into His arms right now? Amen. If you're here and you're hurting, amen, He hurts with you. Let Him take you into His arms and love you this morning. Heal you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Let's stay in this attitude of prayer. You can be seated as we serve communion. Let God do some healing in the house. Would you do that? Would you do that as we serve? Let God heal your heart. I know there's some things that they take time. I understand. I'm not minimizing any hurt. I'm just saying there is the healing hand of the God who hurts with us. Amen.
There's any doubt that the Lord hurts for us, we hold the elements in our hand to signify that He does. A broken body, a shed blood. Could you stand across the building this morning? Amen. I want us just to thank the Lord together for the bread and the cup
that he gave himself so willingly as sacrifice for our sins. Would you thank him? Come on, let's thank him across the building. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Lord, thank you for suffering as you suffered. Lord, to purge us from our sins, to shed your blood, to cleanse us thoroughly and completely and wholly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, so unselfishly. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you suffered for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to partake of the cup. A verse just began to come to my mind. Even the writer of Hebrews said, the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel was killed by his brother Cain, and Abel's blood that was shed cried out, judgment, 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 guilty, guilty. Amen. Punish, punish. But Jesus' blood speaks better things. Forgive, forgive. Mercy, mercy. Forgiveness, forgiveness. Healing, healing. Oh, hallelujah. Would you let him heal you this morning? Let's partake of the cup together. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let God do an eternal work in your heart right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he's the healer of the hurt. Hallelujah. He's the healer of the hurt. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We usually sing something different. I want us to sing this. Well, years I spent in vanity and pride. Oh, caring not my Lord was crucified. And knowing not it was for me, he died. Great and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied. Oh, to me, and there my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied. Oh, to me, and there my burden so found liberty. Just one more verse. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Oh, at Calvary. Was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied. Oh, to me, there my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Shake one another's hands and say, what a God we have. See you tonight. Hallelujah. What a God we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.